Hello listeners, and welcome to today's podcast, where we invite our guests to bear all and spill the tea. Today's Spill the Tea podcast is brought to you by me, Charlie Simmons, at All Saints Academy, and I'm pleased to welcome our co-hosts, Cameron Owen and Zainab from Clee School, and Evie Sharp and Sydney Davis from Dean Close School. Joining us, we have the pleasure of welcoming today's guests, Laura Tapping and Alex Wells, who will be talking to us about climate change. Laura is a climate change specialist with experience in measuring and monitoring carbon footprints in the tourist industry. Laura previously specialised in carbon offsetting and is passionate about improving climate resilience within communities. She was recently appointed by Cheltenham Borough Council as the Climate Emergency Programme Officer. Alex has also recently joined Cheltenham Borough Council as the Climate Emergency Project Support Officer. Previously, Alex was an energy manager for a restaurant chain based near London and recently returned to London. Right, so we have our first question from Cleve School, I believe.
Yes. So, first question. When did you first become aware of climate change?
Okay, I'm going to jump in first, if that's okay. I was about 17, so bearing in mind how old I am, that's about 1990, so it was quite some time ago. And it was starting to hit the news. But at that point, the threat seemed to be really far away, and I really had no clue how I could make a difference.
That's interesting. Oh, you can't really do anything when you're like young.
So, yeah, similar for me, really. When I was at university, I first started learning about climate change, but it seemed like it was a problem for other countries and not for us. So those tropical islands, they were, you know, having these crazy storms and nothing near us. And then in 2007, you guys probably don't remember, but we had some awful flooding in Gloucestershire. And that was when I started to realise that we were actually quite vulnerable to climate change as well.
Next question, I believe.
Question two. What is the greatest issue we've currently faced?
Okay, I think personally the greatest issue is that we will not act in time, and we won't do anything soon enough. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen any of the reports, but the devastation that will be caused by just a 4 degree temperature rise is really scary. It's really frightening. And if we don't do things now, this minute, that's where we will end up, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree that climate change is treated almost as a future problem by lots of people. So it's something that we'll deal with, you know, in 2050, but we really need to be dealing with it now. Also, it's often a belief that technology will save us. We'll have all these new innovations that will, you know, take the carbon out of the air, but that might not be the case. And we really do, like Alex said, we do need to act now.
A bit of a ticking time bomb.
Yeah, basically. So yeah, that's exactly. Just absolutely. 4 degrees till we're like really in danger. Mm-hmm. Next question. Yeah, the final question from Cleve as well.
What things do you think people could do individually to bring climate change to an end?
Well, to be honest with you, it's not that we can really bring climate change to an end. Climate change is happening, as you know, and we can't stop that. So no matter what we do, climate change will still happen. All we can do is think about mitigating that and reducing that. So an important thing to really think about is how we adapt to any changes in the climate. Obviously reduce the impact of climate change, but think about how we can adapt to what will happen. So when we think about flooding, you know, more flooding will happen because of climate change. We might not be able to influence that any longer because, you know, ice caps are melting, etc. But we need to think about what measures we can put in place so that there's less damage from this flooding and the communities can still survive when this flooding happens.
You know, for me, I think that we all need to take the attitude that everybody needs to do something, even if it's small things. We can all change our habits to better protect the environment, but we need to do that.
Yeah, I also think that it's a big problem that with climate change and the climate emergency, it's often an all or nothing scenario. So, you know, people have it in their heads that You either have to do everything so you don't fly anywhere, you have to become a vegan, you have to recycle everything, or you do nothing. But that isn't true. We can all make little changes to our behaviours, do small actions that will make a big difference if we all do something together.
Yeah, it's basically like about the little things really that make the difference.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, now we're going over to Dean Close School or whatever their questions.
I've just been thinking about, we're kind of at the end of exam season now, and often there's a tradition for people our age to burn all their resources and their work at the end of their exams. And I was wondering what impact you think that has on the environment every year.
Well, you know, if you burn anything, you're obviously releasing carbon into the atmosphere, which is essentially the opposite of what we want to be doing. You know, when I was at school, everybody was ripping up their textbooks and, you know, there was litter everywhere. Quite recently, actually, I purchased a geography revision book because I really regretted getting rid of mine. So I would really recommend keeping hold of them for future. But, you know, with these folders and things like that, also if there's any plastic on them, that's extra pollution into the atmosphere.
Yeah, maybe, you know, you could think about recycling instead and have a lovely visions of your old folders and textbooks becoming toilet paper instead. So yeah,
that's great.
Genius idea. Next question, I believe.
Yeah, well, I think it's really clear that you're both quite passionate about the environment, and you've mentioned that everyone needs to do their individual part, but what measures do you both personally take in order to protect the environment?
So myself, basically, as I said earlier to you guys, I've reduced my meat consumption in my diet a lot. So I wouldn't class myself as vegetarian or vegan, but
nearly vegetarian.
Exactly. So I reduce my meat consumption because I recognise the impact on the environment that has. And also I really reduced my single plastic usage. So, you know, wherever possible, reuse things. And I also try to drive as little as possible and cycle or walk wherever I can.
Yeah, just to sort of reiterate that point about, you know, everybody doesn't have to do everything. So for me, I have to say, I haven't really reduced the meat in my diet, but I don't drive. So that's my major thing that I do to contribute to, reducing climate change. I also, because of what I used to do, I'm pretty manic about saving energy, turning lights off, making sure that, you know, I use as little energy and water as possible at home. You know, I read my meters, I have smart meters, all that kind of thing. And also, you know, I try and throw away as little as possible. I've kind of, you know, tried to get my rubbish down to one plastic bag a fortnight, one big bag a fortnight, and I've basically done that, and it's just by being really careful about what I throw away and what I can recycle. So that's what I do.
They're really simple measures, aren't they? Anyone can do them.
Next question from Dean Close School.
So you've been talking about kind of the new roles that you're going to be into, and what measures can we expect to see you take in these new roles?
So I'm not sure if you know, but these climate emergency roles that we've taken on, they're brand new roles created at the council, which is, you know, really positive to see that the money is being spent in the right areas. Because they're new roles, our first job is really to measure our footprint. So look at where we are right now within the council. So looking at our buildings, what energy is being used, and also in the wider borough, and understanding what projects are underway. Then from this, we're developing what we're calling a climate pathway, which will help us to achieve carbon zero by 2030. So we're still defining what that should look like, and it will involve a lot of collaboration with businesses, community groups, and schools, for example.
Yeah. Everybody has to do their part, because we can't do this on our own, there's two of us. It's just not going to work. It's about everyone reducing their carbon footprint in their day-to-day lives, and our job is to support those changes, is to encourage people to do it, and like I said, to recognise the people that are, you know, reducing their footprint day-to-day.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, final question, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so this podcast will hopefully help a fair few student listeners, and students have clearly played quite a big role in the climate crisis, particularly with the school strikes over the last few years. But how do you propose that you could capitalise on the extent of youth involvement?
So basically, we're going to be asking you for your help and your ideas. You know, we can't do this without enthusiastic participation from everyone. We realise, you know, the youth movement when it comes to climate has been really strong. So we'll be asking you to get involved as much as possible.
Yeah, as students, you might not realise just how much you can influence those around you, but you can. You can influence your parents, the schools, and, you know, basically we're going to ask you to help influence people to make changes.
Amazing.
It makes sense.
Yeah. It does make sense as well. Just need more people to, educate people on what needs to be done, really. Get them get some people more enthusiastic people about it. And for any of our listeners wishing to become the next David Attenborough, what advice do you have for how they can start? Where does a student passionate about saving the environment even begin?
That's a really good question. So I would say get involved with everything that you possibly can. So, you know, all sorts of volunteering opportunities. There's so many different things going on in the community that you can get involved with. And just talk to anyone and everybody that will listen. So we'll share your ideas with them. You're bound to meet like-minded people that will want to collaborate on different projects, or somebody that can support you on your way to becoming David Attenborough.
And I'd also say lead by example. So whatever you want other people to do, you need to be doing. And also the green industry, I think, is going to become more and more important, because obviously it's very critical that we take action now. So, and you know, there will be internships available within that industry, and that's where I, you know, look to get some experience and expertise.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Thank you very much. Now over to Dean Close School. Yeah.
Well, thanks everyone for spilling the tea with the Cheltenham Education Partnership and our hosts, All Saints Academy. Before we say goodbye, I think it might be quite interesting to ask how well behaved you both were at school.
Okay, I went to a boarding school, so there was a lot more opportunity to get into trouble, in my defence, but I'm going to be honest and say I wasn't that well behaved, I'm afraid.
Well, I was the opposite. I would say that I was very well behaved. Maybe I was just a little bit lazy and didn't always get my homework done.
It's fair enough.
Fair. Yeah. We really would be spilling the tea properly if we didn't ask you a few gritty questions at the end to find out the stuff that our listeners really want to know. At the end of all our podcasts, we are asking our final #thirstyfree questions to really juice up things for our listeners. Our guests haven't been sent these final thirsty-free questions, so now is our chance to really get to know them. Well, first up is Dean Close School.
Okay, so first of all, what is the most outrageous thing that you've seen in your career so far?
I'm going to take this one. Okay, it was a long, long time ago. I was pretty young. It was one of my first few meetings that I'd been to, and I was sat in a meeting and a mouse ran past my foot. that was pretty outrageous, to be honest. There was a lot of discreet shuffling as we tried to herd it into a corner, but yeah, that's one of the things that happened to me.
Cleve, you've got a question, take it away.
Looking back on your life, if you had like one person to thank, whether you know them or not, that is like the centre of everything that you've done and that is your ultimate inspiration, who is it and why?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't really have one particular person that I'd look up to or that has inspired me. I take inspiration from a lot of different people, especially I would say my friends and family who have really followed their passions and haven't been afraid to completely change their path to do something that they really want to do. I did something similar myself. I was, you know, heading in one direction, not enjoying it. Even though I'd been going that way for about 10 years, I decided to completely change that so I could do something that I was passionate about.
It's very heroic. Yeah, just to turn your whole life around. Take some skill and will, iron will, really. Last question. Okay, what is the worst piece of advice that you've ever been given?
So I would say the worst piece of advice that I received was actually from my history teacher, and it still sticks with me to this day. He probably never thinks about it, but I remember talking to him about the fact that I loved creative writing, and I wanted to be an author. And he said to me, "You'll never be successful at that. Don't bother. You know, there's no money in that. Nobody ever gets, you know, very few people get their books published." So that was sort of the end of that for me. I just gave up on that dream and went in a different direction. When I was older, I did, you know, take some classes for creative writing, and it did become a bit of a hobby. But, you know, my career path could have gone a very different way if he hadn't have said that.
I mean, for me, I was told that I was not very good at maths, and that I should never, ever think about any kind of career that had any maths involvement whatsoever. And, you know, I kind of took that advice to heart. But it was a few years later, and I was involved in a work situation where I had to work with a lot of financial data. And there were really critical reasons why it had to be me. And the data that involved, it meant, you know, if I did a good job, it would help save other people's jobs. So it was really important. And I suddenly realized that actually it wasn't true that I wasn't that good at maths, and actually went off and qualified as a management accountant a few years later, because I could. I'd say, never let anyone tell you what your limitations are, because they're probably wrong.
Anyone can do maths. Anyone can do maths. It's just formal guessing, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Over to you guys.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Cheltenham Education Partnership, and it's been great to work alongside our partner secondary schools to get to know their surrounding professionals even more.
Tune in next week, where we are joined by Dr. Rob Chappell, who dares to bare all and spill the tea on what the pressures of being a doctor were really like during the pandemic. Laura and Alex, you've been absolutely fantastic guests, and thank you so much for spilling the tea with us here at All Saints Academy. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait for next week where, as usual, we promise to spill the tea!
Today's Spill the Tea podcast was brought to you by the Cheltenham Educational Partnership.